Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. Coming to you from the Marquee Media Studio, here's Mark Haney.
You know, Marcus, they say that luck is when preparation meets opportunity. You ever heard that saying?
Get out of town!
Yeah. They also say the harder you work, the luckier you get. And you know what? I've heard people say, and I don't know that I appreciate this one as much, if I didn't have bad luck, you know, I wouldn't have any luck at all. That kind of sounds like a victim. Doesn't really sound like
I don't
an
like
entrepreneur,
the way that
it,
yeah, absolutely not. Don't like that one too
yes,
much.
Yes, this is the Haney Biz Project. We're on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. We tell the good stories, the stories of winning, the stories of entrepreneurs figuring out a way to succeed. And those stories, they always come with a certain amount of heartache and drama. And the most successful stories, the entrepreneur somehow figures out a way to win. Marcus, thoughts today? You're here. Are you hanging or are you banging today on the show?
I am banging today. Got a lot of good stuff in the pipeline for Haney Industrial Supply. Trying to get some of that preparation and the opportunities to combine with turns into luck, as you said earlier, right?
Yeah, and when we're banging, we're at our very best at our very best opportunity. I just got back from Cabo. I was doing a little hanging and having a nice, relaxing time, but I couldn't wait to get back to the show, to Five Star Bank Tank yesterday. I'll talk about that in a second. But you know, Marcus, how important do you think luck is in building a business? We know that there's good luck and there's bad luck, but I mean, how important is it when we're looking to build something?
How important? Well, I think that, you know, you kind of make your own luck as an entrepreneur, right? I think you put yourself into certain situations that makes you have to either triumph or give up and fail, right? So I think as long as you keep going, keep pushing, keeping your head on straight and looking for those opportunities to meet that preparation that you've been dealing with your whole life cycle, then I think that there becomes a good amount of luck, which isn't very important, I guess, at the end of the day.
It comes in handy, but I mean, if we look at luck as something we have no control over, sometimes that puts us in that victim mode, and I can't stand it when we get in that victim mode. It bugs me. I had something that I thought was, I almost turned into a victim the other day. So I was so pumped up, right? I get to come home from Cabo. I was hanging in Cabo, but I get to come back, and I'm so pumped up. I'm fired up to be emceeing Five Star Bank Tank, this exclusive event that's happening. It happened yesterday, and it was great, where investors were coming in, entrepreneurs were coming in. We're putting the groups of people together. I was so pumped up to be leaving Cabo and coming back. And then we sent around our newsletter, which talked a little bit about luck and how important it is. And something happened to me that I didn't expect, Marcus. Somebody unsubscribed.
Oh,
I was like, somebody unsubscribed to my newsletter. I felt like we had never had anybody unsubscribe. Somebody unsubscribed on me. And I was like, I was really feeling kind of like a victim. And it's like, oh, this is bad luck, you know, and all that. And then,
it's all because you went to Cabo,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it may have been. And then somebody else sent me an email right off the newsletter and said, Mark, one of my old buddies, he said, Mark, I'm kind of getting sick of you. You know, I keep seeing you everywhere you go. I see you at Five Star Bank and I see you on these billboards. Boards all across town. Marquee Media has brought the good luck back into my life. I'm everywhere. I'm getting to MC the event over at Five Star Bank Tank. Marquee Media is flashing my face all over town. My friends are making fun of me. So take that, you unsubscribing ex-friend of mine. It's good luck here at Haney Biz. And you know what? I say this sort of facetiously, it's how we look at things, right? You know, you're going to have some things that happen in our lives that don't feel so good, might even hurt our feelings, make us want to whine a little bit. But there are plenty of things that make us want to get up and get out of bed in the morning and go do something, right? But it's not until we take some action, until we get in the game, until we put ourselves out there, we're not going to have any luck at all if we're sitting on our hands or sitting in the rocking chair at home. So today, we're going to be talking about luck, and I do feel like one of the luckiest guys alive, because today, coming up on the show, we have Mr. Kurt Rocca in the house today.
The man.
He's going to be talking about DCA Capital. He's one of those guys that takes us entrepreneurs under his wing, provides us the capital so that we can scale our businesses, help us create a little good luck along the way. We will be doing that coming up after the break. This is the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank.
Now, back to Marquee Media Studio and the Haney Biz Project with your host, Mark Haney.
All right, all right, all right. This is the Haney Biz Project. Welcome back. This segment is sponsored by Comstax Magazine as well as California Backyard. And today, I have the privilege of having my good friend Kurt Rocca in the house. How you doing, Kurt?
I am so happy to be here.
Well, it is my lucky day. We've been talking about luck and just wondering what is happening in your world that is lucky right now.
Oh, you know, every day is a lucky day. We have great clients. I have a great business partner, and frankly, the luckiest thing for me, you know, at least on the professional side, is the opportunity to work with the people I get to go to work with every day, and just help to be surrounded by great, smart people that make me better.
Yeah. Well, you have a tremendous team over there at DCA. I was hanging out with your partner yesterday at Five Star Bank Tank, Mr. Steve Mills, and he didn't know that you were coming on the show, or he acted like he did not know that you were coming on the show today, but we were over there at this very exclusive event. And I guess this event was so exclusive, you did not even get invited. That's awkward, isn't
it? That's not that exclusive.
So it's like, Kurt Rocca's not here. This is an exclusive event.
That's a pretty common
occurrence. Surprised I was there and you weren't there.
Yeah, I bet you were. I bet you. I don't get out much, Mark.
It was a fun event. And, you know, I think DCA exemplifies what the entrepreneurial spirit is all about here in Sacramento, right? Where us entrepreneurs, we have these enormous dreams. We want to change the world. We want to build these businesses. And then we always run into these periods of time when it's not so easy. And there's a fork in the road on a lot of these stories. And at that fork, you need something always changes. You either think about quitting, being a victim, as we talked about. Maybe you've had some bad luck. Or you may run into some inspiration. You may run into some insight. Or you may run into somebody who really decides they want to invest into our company and really change the trajectory of our careers. And that's what DCA is all about.
Well, that's part of what we're about. And we try to fill, just like the Haney Biz Project does, you know, try to fill a spot in that ecosystem that allows people to be successful. But, you know, it, like everything, it takes a village, you know, and we play a role, you play a role, and everybody else in this community plays a role.
Well, give us an example of what you guys do over at DCA.
Well, when companies want to grow but don't have the capital or can't get the capital from someone like Five Star Bank because it's outside their typical lending parameters, we can come and become their partner and provide the capital that they need to really be able to fully invest in their business to realize the opportunity, as opposed to having to constrict the real opportunity that's in front of them based on the capital that's available. So, you know, part of it is capital, but the other part is, and it's like any other business partnership, you know, going side by side, you know, always by your side, you're saying, yeah. and become partners with the management teams of the companies we invest in and try to help them however we can, whether it's relationships. You know, capital is the easy part, candidly. It's the relationships, it's the sales and marketing, you know, expertise, it's financial reporting, the governance, any of those types of things that are going to help them be successful.
Yeah, you're not a partner that comes in and just lays out the capital. You actually help them to grow their business, because you don't want to invest in businesses that don't have that big, I'll call it 10X type growth, or they really want to get a lot bigger. That's when you guys come in.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We'll come in and we'll do whatever it takes. I mean, the biggest thing for us is aligning interests. So we want to make sure our interests are aligned with theirs. And once you do that, and everybody knows that what you're trying to do is for the right reasons, then it all works.
So thinking about size of companies you like to invest in, we all hear about the startups out there, and they get a lot of attention because there's so many of them, but a lot of them really don't make it to the point where someone like DCA would come in. They either go out of, you know, so many startups go out of business. You know, you go out and you spend all this time pitching and trying to raise money, and only a select few get up to a point where they're sort of DCA ready.
You know, that's absolutely right. And it's a really good question. But I had a thought as you were going on, because that was a long question. So I had a long, I had a long time to think.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? How many of these shows have you done?
I think we've been doing this coming up on 3 years. So that once a week for 3 years. What's that? 150 shows? Yeah.
So you've interviewed, I don't know, 300 people or so?
Yes,
a couple?
Yes, I have.
So you've interviewed, how many times have you been interviewed?
On the show?
On the show.
I would say maybe once, it was about 2.5 years ago.
I think it's time for us to change that. I think it's time for, tell you what, here, get up for a sec.
Okay.
All right. And let's do this. I'm coming your way. You come over here and let's do a little switcheroo here.
Okay. So I'm wearing the hat now of the interviewee. I am in the hot seat now. I would rather ask the questions than to be the guy with the answers. This is kind of awkward, Kurt. Okay.
That's the easy part. So
interesting. This is bad luck, my friends. Or we'll find out at the end of the show if this is good or bad luck.
For 300 times or whatever it's been, you've tried to bring people on and get to know them.
Yep.
Right? And you have gazillion listeners now for this great
thanks to
show.
Marquee Media. We got a few.
But I would venture to guess that a lot of the people who listen and who love your message don't actually know Mark Haney. Right?
Yeah.
So who is Mark Haney? Tell us about
Mark Haney. Who is Mark Haney? Mark Haney is first and foremost a family man, wife of 32 years, 2 kids, 3 grandkids, building out a town we call Haneyville, which is number one in my life right now, but also working on trying to help my hometown, right? Trying to help my hometown. And I thought to myself, after selling some companies, what should I be spending my time on? And I'm always the type of guy who's like, I'm not that good at very many things. I was good at being a football coach. Maybe I'll coach some football. I did okay at building a couple small businesses that took off. Or do I do the small business thing? So here I am trying to do something that that I've had a little bit of success in the past. So working on my family, working on some business stuff.
Good for you. I can't wait to hear about Haneyville. But before we do that, so take us back. So Mark Haney the kid. What were you like as a kid?
I am the guy that you did not want your daughter dating. Are we going to go back that far? How far back? As a kid, played sports, grew up here in Roseville, in the Sacramento area. About the only attention I got from my dad was when I cracked into somebody on the football field. So I always wanted to do something in sports. So I got a little positive attention out of my family. So I grew up doing sports, went to Oakmont High School. But I think along the way, I gained this sort of appreciation for my hometown that I love. In fact, we bought our burial plots. My wife turned 50 a couple years ago, and we actually are going to be buried in Roseville. So I'm going to live out my remaining days here in my hometown of Sacramento.
Very nice. So a bit of a hometown hero.
I am a hometown...
we'll call you a hero. You don't have to use the word.
Yeah, okay. It's hard to
So is that where the hanging or banging came from? Was in the football days when you had to bang into people?
Yeah, banging heads. I know that one of the things I've picked up over the years is if you want to get anywhere in life, you got to get somebody's attention. So I figured I better come up with something a little edgy, right? Which hanging or banging is a little edgy. It sort of rhymes. But I do think that that's the way to win is to get noticed, get yourself some attention. Get yourself in the game. And I think what I found in hanging or banging is if you want to win, you need to be banging, right? You need to be at your very best opportunity. And so many times in my life, and what I see with a lot of people is we sort of get stuck in between. We're not in relaxed mode like I was in Cabo, which is beautiful. We should take if you've earned a vacation, take your vacation. But if you aren't where you want to be in life, if you want to change your outcome, you better be working on the most important things and going as hard as you can at those things and really getting a rhythm, really getting a zone. So my whole thing is if I can help entrepreneurs to get in that zone, now I feel like I'm doing my job. But first thing I got to do is get in my own zone. And so it's my reminder that's easy to remember for myself is, am I hanging or am I banging? Because when I'm in between, that ain't no good.
Yeah. I think a lot of us spend a lot of time in that in-between mode or bouncing back and forth without focused energy or focused relaxation. So growing up, when you weren't terrorizing the parents of young ladies and banging into people on the football field.
Well, that's a yeah.
When did you realize you had a knack for business?
Probably didn't really realize that, but my first entrepreneurial endeavor was a newspaper route, and I showed up and I was helping this high school guy with his newspaper route. I was summer going into fourth grade, and one day he said, "Mark, I'm going to go get a real job. You want my newspaper route?" I said, "Sure, I'll take your newspaper route, but I got to go ask my mom first, make sure it's okay for me to have a newspaper route." So I went home and asked my mom, "Hey, Mom, can I have a newspaper route?" She said, "No, you're too young to have a newspaper route." Well, the next morning, the newspapers showed up on my porch. I'm like, "Mom, there's newspapers on my porch. What am I supposed to do?" It's like, "I guess you got a newspaper route." So I jumped in and did my newspaper route, and I learned a lot through that. And I think that's when I kind of started figuring out a way to help customers and getting some attaboys from and some complaints from my customers.
So that's an example of luck, right? I mean, all of a sudden you went home, Mom says no, and all of a sudden the newspapers just showed up and got you going.
And the better luck actually happened after I had the newspaper route for probably about 6 to 12 months. And you know, I was that athletic guy that thought he could throw the newspaper from the middle of the street and get it on the porch and all that. And I was pretty good, but once in a while it would go on the grass, right? Once in a while that newspaper would end up on the grass, or you know, wouldn't hit the porch perfectly. And I was going back in those days, you had to go around and collect. I delivered the Sacramento Union. And I remember collecting for the union, and this one house, Mr. Schmidt, he owned the A&W, and the A&W was the burger joint in town. Everybody respected Mr. Schmidt, and so I collected at Mr. Schmidt's office, or his house, excuse me, and he said, "Mark, you're doing a pretty good job, but you need to try to get it on the porch a little bit more often." And so my brother and I went on and said to ourselves, you know, okay, what should we do? And we ended up deciding on this scheme of putting it on the front porch and having it fall into the entryway for Mr. Schmidt. And we called it in-home delivery. And that was probably our first taste of really developing an innovative product that actually changed the trajectory of our career as newspaper carriers.
Yeah, good for you. Looks like maybe we need to take a break here.
I see that is what we're doing. So this is the Haney Biz Project. Karaka is here reversing the roles on me, getting me to bring out some of my stories. We'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to the Marquee Media Studio with Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Hub International and Legion ABS. I'm Mark Haney, and I am joined by Kurt Rocca, DCA Capital Partners. And Kurt has made me switch chairs here, which is awkward. I'm in the hot seat now. Kurt has been asking me the questions. He's going to continue, and he's gonna give me some soft toss here so I can hit the middle of the ball. Kurt, lay out an easy question or two for me.
Here
if you don't
comes
mind.
An easy one. So okay. I'm guessing that paper route that we left off talking about wasn't the business that you sold that you referenced earlier. So from the business, from the paper route,
from the paper route,
where'd your career go from there?
Yeah. So my dad had a TV shop. I worked a lot of hours in my dad's TV shop, eventually turned it into video stores. The three brothers bought out the video stores, grew it up to 12 video stores. And some of you that don't remember video stores at this stage, but there was Beta and VHS, and we were the Beta guys for the most part. But we had a little success, but we all know that the video store industry was not the business to be in forever. So we pivoted. We ended up buying a security company. Actually, it was a pro video type company, and we pivoted from pro video into security, and we grew that into five companies, and that's the companies that we had some more uncommon success with.
Yeah. So, and you were how old then?
I was I was in my mid-20s when we bought out my parents' video stores and grew that up, and then I think I was 28 when we got into the security gig.
Okay.
So
we say
pretty
we.
Young guy.
Who was
my,
we?
I had two brothers. We bought out the older brother. So there's four siblings. So it's the three brothers. And shortly after partnering up with my older brother, my younger brother and I decided that we didn't like that as well as a trio. The two of us were the two of us that had the paper route as little kids. So the little brothers bought out the big brother, and then within a couple years, I think it was 1992. I was about 28. That's when we got into a company called Northern Video.
Got it.
Which you and I did a little business with back in the day, which is ironic.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
back when you and your wife were probably still dating.
No, we've been married a while, but yeah, it's kind of ironic how you everything circles back. Now I'm in the entrepreneurial community, and you were in the dental business, and we were selling video that went into people's mouths.
Don't try to change it back to being about me. You're going to try to start asking.
You
me
built some cool businesses too, Kurt.
Pretty soon. So along the way, this whole family business thing has been part of your blood. You started with your dad's business.
It was cool.
Got in business with your brother.
Yep.
And now, how many businesses in total are you involved with?
I think we have 15 that we call Haney Biz companies. So those are the ones that probably most involved with, and then maybe another dozen or so investments. And then which is kind of cool. These are all my direct investments, but I'm also invested into DCA, which I don't know. So that gives me this indirect, tie to a lot of your businesses too. So that kind of feels good.
Which we appreciate.
Yeah. So I think there's, and I'm invested in other funds as well, but directly I got about 15 of my own and about 10 to 15, I'll call it like angel, even though I don't feel like an angel, kind of like angel investments.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, I won't embarrass you by asking you to try to name them all, because there's no possible way you could do it. But I saw, there's at least seven names just on the front window of your building here at the Allegiant Giving Center.
And there's presidents of each of the companies, and so it's nice to have for me to play radio boy while the businesses are all doing what they do. There's presidents of each one, and I invest into rock stars. I mean, that's part of why I invested into DCA, I'd say the majority of it is you and Steve and what you guys do. It's like, I want to invest in people who can make the molecules move, and that's what I've done. That's what I'm doing. That's my mission in life. When I'm not with my family, it's like, how do I help these entrepreneurs to get their dreams and goals met?
Which is the number one thing we look at DCA as well, is you're investing, at the end of the day, you're investing in people, right? You underwrite the people. The business concept's great, the product's great, but at the end of the day, the people are the ones that have to execute.
Without a doubt.
So two of those 15 businesses, at least, maybe more, your kids are involved with, right?
Yes. My daughter is Haney Garcia Realty Group. We've got three offices. I think there's 65, 70 agents. It's a residential real estate company. We help people buy and sell their homes. Folsom, Lincoln, Rockland, pretty much South Placer focused, but great company. She is in charge of that. And on this radio show, Marcus and I do this radio show together, but he's went off on his own sort of. He hasn't brought me quite along yet, other than as a fan. He started something called Haney Industrial Supply, where he sells these industrial products. He has not brought me on as an investor yet, but who knows? I'm trying to talk him into give me a little bit of the piece of the action, but I think he's building that one on his own right now.
So how is it? I mean, you worked with your dad.
Yeah.
Now you're working with your kids.
Yep.
Tell us about both dynamics now that you've had both experiences.
Very different experiences. Again, my dad and I, people don't usually ask me too much about my dad. This is cool. My dad and I had a great relationship, but what he was less active in my development than I attempt to be with my kids. So I'm highly involved in, I coach my kids in Little League and daughter in gymnastics, and was probably a parent that was too involved in his kids' lives, if anything. And I think my dad, he went to work and he focused on his work. That's the way he did. So it was very different. But I'd say what's common is how tight of a knitted families we were. So I was raised by people who who believe family is number one. When we sat at the dinner table, we went around and talked about how was your day, and the news of the day would be things like how was football practice and how was work and things like that. So we talked about those daily news updates, and I was fortunate to have that. So I think we brought that to our family as well. My dad, he ended up getting sick pretty early on. You know, they sold us their company, and sadly, both my mom and my dad, my mom was as active as my dad in the business. They both got sick shortly after us buying their video stores, and so I, you know, I didn't have that extended relationship with them that you might imagine, and really my relationship was probably more with my mom than my dad, even though I feel the dad role here with my kids.
Yeah, you think, so. And obviously I know from prior conversations as well as just looking at your face, and it's too bad the rest of the radio folks can't see it as well, is just the pride that you have looking both up at your parents as well as I know the pride that you have in your kids, and it's good to see. So if I was talking to your kids and said, hey, tell me about your dad.
Oh God.
Well, what do you think they would tell me?
I mean, that's a good question.
We can call BS on this because Mark, I can grab Marcus if I need to.
We should grab Marcus. I think what my kids would say is my dad, you can look around his life and know who he is. You look around the people that he puts in his life, that he is lucky enough to attract into his life. That probably describes my dad. You can look around. Here we are in Mark Tank, right here in Marquee Media Studios, and you have things that remind me of what's important to me. Gifts that I've received from kids I've coached to who have. I got a flag back there of a kid that hit 19 home runs for me in Little League, and when he came back from Afghanistan, he brought me the flag. I'm that guy that looks at everything as a long-term relationship. My business partners, my friends, they're the ones that I've had since Little League, when I played Little League here in the local area. So I think if there was anything that my kids would say is look around the people that my dad puts himself around, and then you'll know my dad.
Yeah, very, very nice.
Yeah.
You know, I found you to be an interesting guy because you have this kind of can-do, banging kind of attitude on one side, and then you're sort of this Zen master too, with this high level philosophical approach, not only to business, but life. And I'd be curious to know what philosophies you try to both live your life with and or by, and then also, how you ran your businesses and run your existing businesses.
Great question. I don't know that if you think I'm Zen, you should meet my younger brother, Paul. He is the retired one. He is spending time golfing and grocery shopping with his wife. He's the one that really brings the wisdom. I think I bring the energy, and I think that's what I bring. And I guess if I had a philosophy, is it would probably be, if you have no talent, you better bring energy, right? If you want to contribute to this world in a meaningful way, you got to show up and you got to bring energy. So what I lacked in talent, whether it be on the football field or baseball field, I made up for with effort and energy, and I think that's a good way to live life, is if you just bring everything you have to your best opportunities, banging, good things happen. The good luck ends up finding a way to find you. So if that's a philosophy that I can exude in the way I live my life, then I think that's helpful, because I think it is a winning strategy. The other thing is just a philosophy of if you put people around you that make you better, that give you strength, that give you motivation, and that's what I've done with this show. Some people would say, Mark, why do you work so hard? It's like, I'm putting around me the most ambitious, smart, driven people in Sacramento business. I'm putting them in my office every week. There's nobody doing anything like this. Someone like you does something very similar from an investment standpoint, but I'm finding a way to make friends with the most successful people in Sacramento. And I think that's a philosophy I live by, is put the people around you like that you would want to be like. So, So,
and I would add, there's got to be a level of humility. Based on that response, there's also a level of humility that goes along with that energy.
And so. You are pointing to the clock, and it's time to go to the break. And we're going to be back with the Haney Biz Project. And as some of you know, DCA Capital is a sponsor of our show. And so I'm going to a little shout out to all my friends at DCA, the Kurtz Business Partners, and everybody else that's involved with DCA Capital. We'll be back in just a minute.
And now, back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney, coming to you from the Marquee Media Studio.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of accounting firm Clifton Larson Allen and Apex Appraisal Services. I'm Mark Haney, and I'm a little pissed off right now. Kurt Rock here, DCA Capital, is coming in and asking me the questions. He's starting to get personal, almost getting me choked up, which is not that uncommon. But, Kurt, I'm going to flip it back over to you. Just know I'm sort of in a bad mood right now because you're starting to expose me.
Paybacks are tough, Mark. Paybacks are tough. So let's take it less personal and talk about business. Right?
Okay.
You started the Haney Biz Project when?
We started it. The radio show itself started almost 3 years ago. It was July of 15, Uriah Faber, my first guest, and started figuring it out then.
So, you mean, you've talked about wanting to surround yourself with great people, wanting to get more involved in the community, wanting to give back to a region and a community that you care deeply about. But what was the real catalyst that said, okay, I'm going to do this? And what was your, what was the mission when you first decided to launch it?
Well, I started, I wrote a mission statement out after selling my companies, and 2.5, 3 years later, that's when we started the show, and I had begun investing, and I think I recognized that entrepreneurs are people that I wanted to be around, and I developed this sort of fascination after meeting my next-door neighbor, Tom Kandris, and joining the Entrepreneurs Organization. I started developing this fascination with how Sacramento and my hometown could be changed. And the fascination is this, right? So I saw how our business created opportunity for other people, right? Jobs, millionaires were created by the businesses that we built. And I saw that happen with Tom Kandris. And I saw the way that he was living his life and that so many people don't get that that mentor, that they don't have that turning point. And my fascination is if enough of the Tom Kandrises and the Mark Haneys, guys that have had a little bit of success, a little bit more, got a little gray hair going, if enough of those guys could help enough of the up-and-comers along the way, that we could transform our hometown of Sacramento. As these entrepreneurs start their businesses and get going, these are like little sparks. I consider them sparks, and they're all over Sacramento. And if we could just throw some fuel on those sparks, we could create an entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. Just think if we had, you know, 50, 100, $200 million companies popping up and sprouting all over the place, what would that do for economic growth? What would that do for our families, my friends, and this town? So through the stories that we try to share on the Haney Biz Project, through these stories, I think a lot of us can connect. We just sort of see ourselves in the drama of a Dale Carlson type story about how he started with nothing and it wasn't easy. And as we connect to those stories, it sometimes gives us the inspiration and the thought that, you know, maybe I can do that myself. So I feel like I'm playing my role in helping ignite an entrepreneurial revolution and doing that on behalf of Sacramento. We don't have to be a government town forever. I mean, I always think of, what can I do? My son goes off to war and fights for our country, gets shot in Afghanistan. I always think, well, what can I do? And so it's my way of helping that next guy in line. If I'm a little bit, I got a little bit of ability in small business, you know what? That's where I'm going to lay my effort out, and I feel like it's starting to work.
Yeah, good. It's absolutely starting to work. You guys are making a huge impact in this community. And
thank you.
At a number of different levels, and hopefully it gets recognized.
Thank you.
So the theme for this week's broadcast is around luck, right?
Yeah.
And it's been my experience that one of the luckiest things that can happen is to find a mentor, find someone who puts their arm around you and says, you know what, come along with me. I'm gonna show you the way.
Yeah.
Who was that person, or who were those people in your life as you were going through the early stages of your career?
The early stages of business. place. I think I would have to say my mom, who I was closest with through, say, my mid-20s. My dad as well through those mid-20s. My dad didn't say a lot. Is what he said, you could see in the sort of the look in his eye, and he taught basic principles of the compounding effect. And my dad was a master salesman, but he didn't give me that mentorship that I longed for, right? Well, I think I longed for that mentoring, and I didn't have that until my brother and I, as we began to take on our entrepreneurial journey together. I think my brother and I were that for one another,
yeah.
Right? It's like he and I could do anything if we put our minds to it. You know, if whether it be in sports together as running backs or on a football field, or climbing the side of a mountain together, or building a business, it's like together we could do anything. So I think we were supportive of each other. And I feel like I was missing that mentor, that older brother, or that father figure in my life. I've been missing that. And I think that's probably what drives my efforts today, is if I can be that for that next guy in line, that's what I want to be.
My sense, if I ask the question broadly to a broader audience, a lot of people would include you on their list. So I think you've done a very nice job of filling that void.
It sure feels good to hear that. And every once in a while, I'll get that kind of feedback. And that's what keeps me going.
So what else keeps you going? I mean, you've accomplished a lot in your life. You've set up the Haney Biz Project.
Yeah.
I want to hear a little bit about Allegiant Giving Center, mm-hmm. and what that's all about, because we haven't really talked about that yet. But, you know, you've done a lot. You've got a lot of energy. You're still doing a lot. What's left in it for you? I mean, what are the things that really keep you going?
Well, my hope is to, I have this vision of throwing batting practice to my great-grandkids. I envision myself as an old man, 85 years old, but I can still throw batting practice. I've thrown a ton of batting practice in my lifetime, as my son can attest, and the young men that I've coached. But I have this vision of throwing batting practice to these little kids in my backyard. I think it's that vision that gives me the goal to kind of go counterclockwise. I go to CrossFit. I try to stay active from a health standpoint. That's one of the things that I guess drives me on a daily basis, is just, you know, as family type stuff. I go to CrossFit. As funny as it sounds, I love the people at CrossFit, but I go so that I can throw batting practice to my great-grandchildren. And I think that's what was kind of unique, is if I can't do something that seems like almost grandiose, I don't get as motivated. So I have these extremely lofty visions and dreams. And because if I set small goals, I'm not as excited about them. I've got to set like a massive, huge goal. And if I do that, then I can get excited. Then I get up every morning, I go to CrossFit, I do my thing. I also envision having 100 millionaire business partners in my backyard that are all bonded together like brothers and sisters, all wanting to help the same cause, help one another, but also help our hometown of Sacramento. And Allegiant Giving is a part of that. Allegiant Giving is a charitable organization that we started about 6-7 years ago now, focused on today's heroes and tomorrow's leaders, which are tomorrow's leaders being our young people, and we do scholarships in local high schools. But today's heroes are the combat wounded vets, so we do a lot to help these combat wounded vets. We don't want those guys getting left behind.
Good for you.
So,
good for you.
Yeah, if I could have a group of companies and a group of family members all supporting a cause like that, I always think of it like the power of with. If we're all focused with each of my business partners, with DCA Capital, with my teammates, I mean, anything is possible. We can afford to put these grandiose visions out there, because as a team, I was never that good at doing anything myself. But I was good at throwing a party that people want to come to. I was good at building teams. And if we can do that to these larger issues, you know, I do think anything is possible.
Yep. So I'm going to let you off the hot seat here in a second. But one final question.
Yeah.
If, looking back, right, if you were to have had a mentor, right, and that mentor was you, right, and now knowing, you know, Mark Haney at, how old are you, Mark?
I am 54, going to be 55 in May.
Okay, so take Mark Haney at 54, right? Giving advice to Mark Haney at 28 or 30, right, when you're running the video business.
Yeah.
What are the things that you now know through the wisdom that comes with years that you wish someone would have told you back when you were that age?
Well, if I could say one thing, it would be just be you. I think a lot of times in this entrepreneurial journey, we lose confidence, and we sometimes try to be somebody we're not. And I think it's when we pose that, you know, it's easy to see when that happens. And I think when we're pretending or we're posing or we're acting, you know, we're not as effective. And I always go back to the times when I got the confidence. I believed in myself that even though I couldn't be everything to anybody, to anyone, as long as I could just be me, everything was going to be okay. And I think, so I guess in closing on that, as we're running out of time, if I could have some advice, it's what I tell myself, even today is, just be you, Mark, just be you, buddy.
It's not a bad person to be.
Thanks, Kurt. Thank you, too, for switching it up on me a little bit, getting me a little choked up and talking about myself. When we come back, Marcus and I will share some closing thoughts, some takeaways on what was said today, some takeaways on luck. If there's time, I may even share one more story about myself. This is the Haney Business Project. We'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to the Marquee Media Studio for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Silvers HR and Five Star Bank. I'm Mark Haney. I am back here with Marcus Haney. Marcus, takeaways and closing thoughts.
I just loved hearing Kurt interview you and getting to have the audience hear a little bit more about you, get you a little choked up. And
I'm proud. Awkward.
Well, hey, sometimes you got to get on the hot seat a little bit, but I'm also proud to be one of those people that considers you my mentor. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And I, every time I hear that, I think it keeps me going. And I always think that, everything starts with the way we think. So I'm so proud. Kurt asked me about my parents because I think so many times, our philosophies are developed at these younger ages. And I was lucky to have parents who were ambitious, and although they may not have, been mentors to me full time, I could see by their example that they were driven, that their example of what a family ought to look like in terms of love and communication and the way commitment can get made in a family. So it starts with the way we think. I think how we, you know, a lot of times we look at success and go, how did that guy get so much success? And it starts with the way he thinks. The way he or she thinks leads to their attitudes, which leads to their actions, their behaviors, and it's those behaviors, those actions that end up really leading to the success or the failure or the good luck, the bad luck, right? It all starts with the way we think. It's amazing because, you know what? If we don't act on the way we think, if we don't act that way, then the good luck and the bad luck, you know, is not as likely to follow us. So anyway, I've been lucky that way.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that's one of those things that you look at and you take to heart. And I guess you instilled in me as a young kid was anything is possible and everything matters. Yeah. And I've taken that to an adult into my business world. And you know, here we are on the radio show trying to help out the entrepreneurs of Sacramento, take that a little bit one at a time and say, hey, I can do this too.
Yeah. Well, I think you're a great example, Marcus, of good luck, bad luck. I mean, when I got the call when you were shot in Afghanistan, this is going to sound strange to our audience, but I was actually happy in a weird way. Like somebody might look at that as like the worst luck in the world. Your son got shot in Afghanistan. It's like, we got the call and all I could look, I just looked out, was your mom and I were laying in bed. It was early in the morning and all I could think of was, thank God my son is coming home, you know?
Yeah.
So I felt lucky, you know, at that moment, which I think that starts with the way we think, right? The glass is either half empty, half full. You might not even have hardly anything in your glass, but it's your outlook on things. You make the best out of what your situation is. And we were happy you were coming home alive, right? So many of your buddies didn't have such fortune. So,
right.
You know, you got to look at that. And I think as any of us, as we think about our goals and our businesses and what we want out of life, it starts with the way we think. So if I'm out there as an employee right now, it's about my actions and starting with the way I think, right? I might not have what I view as the perfect job, but I need to make the best of it. There is opportunity in any of these actions. We create our own opportunities in life. We create our own luck, whether it be good or bad, and looking to blame it on somebody else, it never works. You know, whining waste time, I like to say. So as we go to break here, as we go to the end of the show today, Marcus, I want to thank you for being a mentor as well, because although, you know, my brother and I, he acted as my mentor at some stage, you're saying that I have been a mentor to you, and I think in some ways I have as your dad, but you've actually been that to me as this last few years on this radio show. So thanks for giving me the confidence and the advice and putting your arm around me when I needed it. I appreciate it. And I Absolutely. Think we all need that. And if I can be that for the business community of Sacramento, you know where to find me. I am always here at Marquee Media Studios, home of Mark Tank, and always by your side.